This is the Morning Conversation on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
And we are going live to Washington, D.C., and U.S. Senator Jeff Merkley. Senator, good morning. Thanks for being on.
Oh, good morning. It's great to be with you.
So I guess, first of all, let's start at what we've just been hearing on the national news throughout the day, the big, beautiful bill status. What are your thoughts? Which direction do you think this is going to go in terms of a vote in the Senate?
Well, there's a lot of turmoil in the Senate right now. We had anticipated that Thursday night we would be starting actual amendments. Now it looks like that's more likely Sunday or Monday. And the turmoil is over a number of provisions that the majority party is wrestling with. It basically boils down to this. The bill will take some health care away from some 16 million Americans on Medicaid and also on Obamacare. And that results in a lot less revenue to our clinics and hospitals, which will result in the closure of a lot of clinics and hospitals, which is, of course, devastating to rural America. So a number of my colleagues across the aisle are saying, hold on, wait, why are we doing this? We're doing this for tax breaks for billionaires? We're cutting health care for millions of Americans? We're cutting a nutrition program for children, for 4 million children will go hungry for tax breaks for billionaires? This is bad policy and bad politics. So there's a kind of an internal struggle going on among my Republican colleagues. And, of course, I see this bill as a big, beautiful betrayal, because Trump campaigned on helping families, but this bill hurts families and helps the richest Americans.
And it sounds like the Senate is going to be working through the weekend?
Yes, that's right. It's the continuous examination of policy elements in the bill. You're not supposed to have policy inside of a reconciliation bill. And so it's named after Robert Byrd of West Virginia. The rules say if it's primarily policy, it gets pulled out of the bill. That's why you see, for example, the public land sales, the proposal to require the sale of a quarter billion acres of public lands. Of course, who would buy them? Hedge funds and billionaires like Elon Musk. And I think most Oregonians who hunt and fish and hike and mushroom collect and go to the woods for spiritual renewal don't want to see Elon Musk owning our forests. So that has been kicked out of the bill, but there's another version that may be coming back in.
Talk more about that whole area of public land sale. We heard more about it earlier in the week. It's interesting, too, while a lot of issues seem to be divided on partisan lines, that aspect doesn't so much.
No, you know, I mean, right now, there's absolutely complete permission in the law for the first service to work out a deal to sell land to a community. It just has to go through the process in which the community is fully engaged, and it has to go through legislation. But what this bill would do is mandate the sale, meaning that communities would be run over the top of. Folks who would see their local woods suddenly with a gate over it, with Tesla or one of Elon Musk's companies saying, stay out, no longer yours. And I don't think Oregonians will put up with that at all. In fact, I don't think anybody in the western states who loves their forests want to see billionaires owning them.
I know a lot of hunting and fishing folks who are generally more on the right politically are some of those strongest ones to be very concerned about that issue right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And if Senator Lee of Utah gets another provision back in, like I said, I'm as the head of the lead Democrat on the budget committee, I've been leading the effort to bump out policies like this that hurt ordinary Americans, hurt rural America. If he puts something back in, I'm going to try to put up an amendment that says, no lands on which hunting or fishing occurs can be eligible for this mandatory sale. But I want to kill this mandatory sale idea completely. There are occasions when it makes sense for federal lands to be transferred to a community for a purpose the community is embracing and they're ready to use it. Just wholesale saying we want to raise money by selling off public lands in order to finance tax breaks for billionaires? Hell no.
Let's talk about a few other things in the brief time that we have. The Iran situation, what are your thoughts about what has taken place there so far, and also the aspect of congressional authority versus presidential authority?
You have the biggest bombs in the world, conventional bombs, and the best earth-penetrating delivery system certainly did a significant amount of damage. We just don't know how much damage because no one's been down inside these chambers deep under the ground to see what it looks like. But here's the thing. What we know is that the Trump team is working to negotiate a framework for the future of Iran's civilian nuclear program. That makes it look very much like the JCPOA that was negotiated under Obama. That agreement blocked all routes to a nuclear weapon and did it peacefully. Now, to secure this ceasefire and to block any future progress to a nuclear weapon, we have to recreate something like that. And all the reports over the last couple of days are that Trump's diplomatic team is working to do that, but with a twist. And the twist is that under the JCPOA, the enrichment for civilian purposes was done inside Iran with international supervision and all kinds of sensors and people looking at it and so forth. In this case, Trump wants that enrichment to happen outside of the boundaries of Iran.
Secure rural schools recently approved by the Senate, waiting for the House. What's your prognosis on its potential progress?
Boy, I would defer to the House members. We got it done in the Senate. I'm sure hoping that, for most of our counties, most of the time, they have the option to choose SRS or the revenue sharing. But for most counties, most of the time, the SRS has been much more generous than the revenue sharing option. And so I certainly hope the House gets it done.
What's the overall mood in Congress right now? Does it feel like polarization is really increasing?
Yes, it's ugly.
And tell us more about what that means.
Well, we are seeing for something I never thought to see in my life, which is a slide into an authoritarian state. You have a deferential Congress that seems to be acting like they took their oath to an individual rather than to the Constitution of the United States of America. So, for example, Mr. Russell Vought, the head of OMB, was testifying 2 days ago. And he's basically saying, hey, the Constitution may say that the role of organizing the executive branch belongs in legislation, which means Congress has to pass it and send it to the Oval Office to be signed. And the funding has to be decided for programs by Congress, of course, on bills that are then signed by the president. But when that's done, when they're designed, when organizations in the executive branch are designed, agencies are designed, and they're funded, the president can't unilaterally reorganize them and can't defund them in the middle of their operation because that's breaking the law. And yet we have seen that time and time again with this administration freezing or delaying funds. And now Mr. Vought has another idea, and that's to send basically slow walk funding the agencies, in other words, not fulfill the law, and then send a rescission right at the end of the fiscal year when there's no time for Congress to act, thereby essentially defying what the law says. And this stealing the purse, I mean, it's gone to the Supreme Court twice. There was a line item veto effort done back in 1973-74, and the Supreme Court said, no, you can't. No, the Constitution gives this responsibility to Congress. You can't hand it off to the president. The same with the president trying to reorganize agencies without legislative authority to do so. That's a huge constitutional no-no. It's all about the separation of powers and the checks and balances, and that's being deeply attacked right now. And my colleagues across the aisle aren't defending the Constitution.
What about all of that as it relates to the Job Corps, with the Wolf Creek Job Corps here in Douglas County? That one has come up a lot from folks around the area.
No, that's a great example because back under the first Trump administration, there was a strategy by the Ag Secretary to shut down our civilian conservation centers. And I called up Mitch McConnell, the majority leader, and on the weekend on his cell phone and said, "Hey, you've got three of these being shut down in your state. I've got three in my state. Let's partner and save these and say this is not okay. If they want to shut them down, they need to come to Congress." He agreed, and we stopped it. We kept it open. Now the administration is doing this again. They're doing it with the Job Corps instead of the civilian conservation centers. But they're shutting them down in the middle. And the court has already weighed in and said, no, you can't do that. That's unconstitutional. And so there's an injunction. So they've been reopened. But this is a great example of exactly what I'm talking about. There's nothing that prevents the president from laying out the budget for the next year and creating a lot of influence about what he wants done, and laying out a reorganization plan, and vetoing any bill that doesn't have what he wants in it. I mean, that's all legitimate influence by the president. But to take the law as written and violate it or ignore it and just shut things down in the middle when they have been authorized and funded by Congress, that destroys the separation of powers, and that is basically saying we got a king instead of a president, and we don't have a king. Our founders were terrified of a president trying to be an authoritarian king, and that's a struggle we're in the middle of right now.
All right, that wraps up our time, and I know you've got a lot going on back there. U.S. Senator Jeff Merkley, we appreciate your time. Thanks for being on this morning.
So good to be with you. Take care.
Thank you. Senator Jeff Merkley, 842 at the Morning Report.